Are you ready for the conscience of psychiatry? For the best-selling author of Talking Back to Prozac, Medication Madness, and now Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, it's the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour with guests unafraid to speak the truth about psychiatry and psychology and about how you can make the most of your own life.
And this is Dr. Peter Bregan. Welcome again to my show. I have a new project I want to tell you about. It's called Simple Truths About Psychiatry. I've already done 5 videos for this new project, Simple Truths About Psychiatry. We're going to release them every couple of weeks and continue to do these videos indefinitely, where I get a chance to just tell you directly what my views are, what I think. I don't usually do that on these shows, as you know. I'm very interested here in getting at what my guests think, although, of course, I do put in my own viewpoint here and there. Simple Truths About Psychiatry. You can go to my website, and you will find the link. It's on YouTube. I also want to mention last week's show, Chrisanne Gordon, physician who has a head injury and who then goes on to become a head injury rehabilitation expert, working with our troops, our veterans as they come back from the war. It's a show worth listening to. It's a particularly uplifting show, as I believe today's will also be, because it's a show that says head injury, as bad as it is, and whatever it may take away from you, can open new doors. In Chrisanne's instance, it can open doors of spirituality and dedication and commitment to helping others. So last week's show, safely in the archives, Chrisanne Gordon, well worth listening to. And today's going to be another show like that. My guest is Lisbeth Cooper. Lisbeth Cooper. She's the founder and she's the chairwoman of the Mother Bear Community Action Network. This is a national network of families dedicated to creating, you know, a new model, a new way of viewing it, mental health care. And one of its characteristics is that hope is encouraged and recovery is expected. Wouldn't that turn our system on its head? Hope is encouraged, recovery is expected. And Mother Bear Community believes there are many pathways to wellness, and that family and community are a very important part of the healing process. I'm proud to say that Ginger Bregan and I are both on the advisory council of Mother Bear. As a man, I'm especially proud to be invited to be a Mother Bear. Lisbeth Cooper is also the visionary behind and the chairwoman of the Cooper Reese Healing Community. It's in Western North Carolina. It's a residential community where individuals with emotional distress can learn how to recover and to thrive through a comprehensive program. And I want to quote, that program, quote, addresses mind, body, spirit, and heart. So I'm just delighted to have Lisbeth here. Lisbeth Cooper, hello.
Hello, Dr. Bregan. How are you?
I am just fine. The tradition on this show is first name, so if you can bear it, please call me Peter.
Okay, so I'll start over again. Hello, Peter. Thank you for having me as your guest.
Oh, I'm really, 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 really glad to have you here. Would you, you could start anywhere or start with how you became involved and interested in this arena, because I know it's not your background.
No, it's certainly not my background. I went to college to study fashion design, and I remember back then that someone in a class, we had to do displays, wanted to do it on mental health awareness. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard about, and I didn't even know what it meant at that point. But some years later, I was about to find out, and I found out the most difficult way, and that is when my youngest daughter was, instead of going to college, was diagnosed with a mental health condition. And it kind of turned my life upside down, and little did I know that that's where my true mission would be found. And we spent about 10 years navigating what I call a very fragmented and difficult mental health system and in several states. And it was always the diagnosis as opposed to a human being, a young woman with potential. I started calling it mistreatment or mismanaged care rather than managed care. So she was in hospitals, she was in group homes, and often she would run away from them. And frankly, I would probably have done the same because she was treated with such disrespect, and the way the patients were spoken to, I still cannot believe it. And I kind of picked up on it myself because I thought that was the way of things to be, but it was not. I've always been a hopeful person, but I have to share with you those 10 years the mental health system took the hope out of my sails, but I managed to wake up each day and say, it's a new day, today is going to be better, and I'm going to be hopeful. I'm one of the few people that probably never had to face jail, but which is today's mental health hospital for so many. So, but when I was told that my daughter's illness was caused because I was a bad mother, that's when the mother bear instinct came up in me. And hence we used that terminology for the mother bear network. But way before that, we started Cooperies with the help of my husband. And when I went home to him one day when I'd had a particularly difficult time with the doctor and the discharge planner, I went home and I said, we're going to start a place where people can actually heal, where hope is going to be the first order of business, where people will be treated with dignity and respect and have a real community where they can actually feel they belong. It's not about the diagnosis, it's about the person. So over the next 3 years, after some nagging got my husband turned on to what was going to be his life mission as well. We spent 3 years where we raised $10 million to start a place that would be called Cooper Reese. Cooper is his family's last name and Reese was mine. And we opened our doors in 2003. And it was going to be all about recovery. But all along, I always kept thinking about both our programming and our design. What would have worked for my daughter? What would work for me if I was going to be there? And everyone kept telling me, you don't have a background in this, you can't do it. And I said, well, I don't think I need a background in this other than I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what I've encountered for 10 years. Where people say no, we're going to say yes. Where people treat you as a diagnosis, we're going to treat them as a person. It's really pretty simple when you come down to it. And if I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out. But it was always, I remember also when we were doing the initial staff training, and we have some wonderful, wonderful staff, and very well-educated staff, but often my daughter would say, stop, you're talking now like a clinician, you're talking about what you learn in school. Let me share with you what it feels like when you're in a trenches, when you are the patient, when you are the person that needs help. And they listened, because if somebody with lived experience, they know better than any of us. All along, we kept hoping that our daughter would be there, but we also deep down knew that she would have nothing to do with it. You know, we're the parents, what do we know? And we always remind ourselves and we remind others that this was because of our daughter, but it was never for our daughter. But it was for all of the sons and daughters out there. And I believe that if other people with a philanthropic interest and mind and ability would gather with us, my God, how we could change this world and do it together, because I have now seen and over 600 families from about 38 states and 6 countries go through our program. Are they all successful? No, I would be lying to you if they were. But 70 to 80% of individuals who go on go through our program end up having productive lives. And what does that mean? Well, it means going back home. It may go back to a spouse. It may be going to college, get a job, or just be able to live independently. It's that simple. And it's not something you just measure. It is whatever. It's a very individual process. So that's the Cooper-y story. And so how did I become a mother bear? Well, written into our operating principles from day one was family education, because that was something I lacked all along. I kind of had to navigate it on my own. And then we started twice a year a family education weekend, and all our current families come in for a 3-day workshop and learn about our programming and about our philosophy at Cooper-y's and what it takes to recover. And I had heard time and time again, my God, if only I could be there. Is there Cooper-y's for families? Then I started asking families, how many of you are familiar with other family networks like the Mental Health Association and NAMI? And consistently over 9 years, I would find maybe 10 or 20% of the group would say that either we belong or we have been taking classes or we love it or it's not for us. And the other 8% were absolutely clueless there were any associations out there or organizations for families. So that's when I decided that we need a family recovery movement for families. And my nickname all along has sort of been the mother bear, because they know that when I dig into something, then I pretty hard to stop. And so we call it the Mother Bear Community Action Network. And this is all about a bunch of mothers taking action and changing things for the better for our family member.
Let me spell your name for folks so they can easily Google you. Mm-hmm. Lisbeth is, of course, Lisbeth. And Cooper, and Reese.
And I go by the middle name is Reese, which is R-I-I-S.
Yes, that's what I was going to get to.
Okay,
thank
sorry.
You. Do you like to be thought of as Elizabeth Reese Cooper or Elizabeth Cooper?
Oh, I use both.
Use both. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want to just point out to the audience that working with her husband, Don, This team has become a really moving force in psychiatric reform. And in fact, I'm going to be seeing Elizabeth on at least 3 occasions at conferences in the coming year, some of which have some help or sponsorship by the organization that your husband's more involved with. I don't know if you want to talk about that group at all, just so people know it exists.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you for asking. A couple of years ago, the group of people started the organization, which has now become been named the Foundation for Excellence in Mental Health Care. Virgil Stocker, who is the Cooper-y's executive director, is also the president and founder of the Community Foundation, and it's the very first and only community foundation strictly for mental health. Gina Nickel is the executive director. She's out in Oregon, and Gina is a brilliant psychologist, PhD psychologist, and my husband is the vice chairman and treasurer. Don is an actuary by background, so everybody kind of likes his logical mind and his wonderful financial, he's just a brilliant guy, let's put it that way.
Financial acumen.
Yeah, that was the word I was looking for, thank you.
tell a little bit more about the organization and what makes it unique.
Well, it makes it unique because the society is the only one in the country that's strictly dedicated to mental health care. And the Mother Bear Community Action Network, we call it Mother Bear CAN for short, is a fund within the organization. There's another fund out in Oregon, and their purpose is to decriminalize mental health and try and get people out of jail and get them treatment instead. And if you go to the foundation website, all of the other funds are in there. One of them, something I would like to speak about, but I probably shouldn't because it's an organization that are very interested in getting involved, but they're not there yet, so I probably should not.
All right.
Mention.
What makes the foundation the only one like it in mental health? Could you clarify what that particular way it's formed or the particular mandate that makes it different?
Well, because it's strictly, all of the funds within the foundation are strictly related to mental health and nothing else. There are lots and lots and lots of community foundations throughout this country, but this is the only one that's strictly in the mental health care.
What is a community foundation?
Well, a community foundation is it's a philanthropic organization where you can donate money to it, but people set up funds within. So instead of managing your own funds, let's say the Peter Brecken Fund, you could set up a fund within the foundation, and they would manage the money. And people can donate money towards it, be in the form of cash, stock, property, and the foundation would handle it. And they also invest your money.
This is really a big deal because most people who might not know this, but for example, when Ginger and I decided to set up a new organization, the Center for the Study of Empathic Therapy, it was a big deal to get it approved and to set it all up. And it sounds like you're going to enable people with good causes to more easily participate as nonprofits. Is that what happens?
Yeah. What also the Mother Bear CAN is a fund within, and that enabled us to start doing business day one because we did not have to get our own 501c3. Robert Whitaker has the Anatomy Fund in there, and then there's the Dorothea Dix Think Tank Fund. And then there's the Foundation General Fund. And it's also a way for people to be able to give a tax-deductible donation towards a nonprofit.
It's a wonderful idea, and it's already having an effect. You are, without a doubt, adding new energy and direction to psychiatric reform. It's just marvelous, and I think it's great that it comes from somebody who was in fashion and somebody who was in accounting and actuarial work, because reform is going to have to come from exactly the way you have come. It's going to have to come from families, from citizens, from ordinary folks. It just isn't coming from within the profession. So I'm just so glad to be able to lend my name to a piece of it and to be a part of it, and so is Ginger.
I'm merely a mother on a mission to change the way the treatment I received and my daughter received for all those years, and hope to make it better for others. And I saw when Mothers for Drunk Driving, boy, what a difference they have already made. And there's nothing in mental health that's really uniting families, and that's what we hope to do, unite families. And it's for fathers, too, and husbands and spouses and sisters and brothers. It's not just women.
Now, you're having groups setting up around the country for the mother. We're talking about Mother Bear now, because we've talked about three different aspects of your work. Just to maybe summarize, we've talked about the Cooper Reese Healing Community in Western North Carolina. People can find that on the web. And we've talked about Mother Bear. And then we've talked about the organization that your husband's involved with, and that allows for this community funding process. And I think we'll be focusing on Mother Bear and on I hope on the Cooper Reese Healing Community in the rest of our discussion. But tell about Mother Bear and what you're setting up around the country.
We have had this summer a series of what we call pilot group of setting up family dens. And we call them family dens because when I speak with people, they say, I don't want to go to a support group. It doesn't sound right. So we're calling them family dens. And we have had a series now going here in Asheville. And we think we have a format, and we'll be spending some time over the next couple of weeks trying to get it into a format we can then put on our website, which is motherbearcan.org, and then start exporting it to other areas. We already have identified mother bears in about 6 or 7 other states that's very interested to take it to their states. We also we are hoping to have a permanent space. We're kind of in borrowing space here in Asheville, and we hope by September 1 to have a permanent space. And right now we do it at lunchtime because we found most people would prefer just to come in, bring their sandwich, and just spend an hour with us and share and learn. And just to realize that you were not alone, because I know how lonely it was for me all these years, and everyone I speak with, they think they're alone. Your friends don't want to hear about it, your family get tired of hearing about it. So who do you go to? Sometimes strangers. But we have something in common when we get together. We are all there because we have a family member with a mental health diagnosis. You're no longer the doctor, the homemaker, the teacher, or the school bus driver. We are all there because of that one reason. We have a family member if we want to help. And also when there's a crisis, we help and support each other.
Now, are you going to do activities that are more in the direction also of influencing government, influencing the medical association,
well,
things like that?
We hope just by the sheer numbers that we anticipate will be joining us that we can create change, but that's not our initial mission. Our initial mission is to set up the family den so we have the support. And then we are working on educational curriculum, and there will be one for young families, which is being written as we speak by Dr. Carolyn Crowder, who also has written several books, and we'll be presenting, I think, at the same workshop we'll be at in the fall, Peter.
Yes, I know her well. She had me speak at the National Adlerian Conference. I got to know her. She's very dedicated, very kind,
very
thoughtful.
Absolutely. So she will be at the Children's Mental Health Summit, which is the September 28th, 29th in Syracuse, New York.
Yes.
And she's working on the young, on the education program. We hope to have that up by January of 2013. Then we also work on a general education program for families primarily 18 and up. And we're working people up in Canada on that, and also local people. And again, we hope to have that up early next year. I can't give you an exact date on it right now, but we are working feverishly on that.
Yeah, so to clarify for the folks listening, so there's going to be 2 major conferences in Syracuse at least in 2013. Yours is coming up in 2012, actually. Yours is coming up in 2012 here in Syracuse.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'll be participating in that. There'll be a lot of interesting people there.
Mm-hmm.
And then our empathic therapy conference will be in Syracuse again. We're making Syracuse a center here in reform in April. And you'll be able to keep track of these on our website as well as other places. So, I mean, you're already having a really good influence and you're bringing diverse people together. You're bringing together people in the reform movement who often don't get together, and all that's really good what you're doing.
Well, thank you. We also try, and we're doing this with the help of Foundation and with a young man, Dr. Jacob Hess, out in Utah. We're trying to get together a resource list of like-minded, and we sort of call it a mental health professional to get the Mother Bear Good Housekeeping seal. Of people that we feel are comfortable to put on our resource list. Right now we're focusing primarily on the Asheville area because this is where we are, this is where we're familiar, this is where we live. But we hope to start exporting that list as well and have that available on our resource list. And also, you know, so when family need help, they can go there and know that there are doctors here for mental health professionals that we feel that we can recommend in good faith.
That's wonderful. One of the things I'd like to do after the break, which is still not for a couple of minutes, is to have you take some time and tell us more about the details of the Cooper Reese Healing Community in Western North Carolina, how it's run, how it's paid for, and just any of the details that you can give us. It's very exciting to me that you and your husband are in this world with us. And
thank you.
I hadn't learned about you years earlier, and I don't think you had learned about me years earlier, and it's really good to be getting to know each other. Can you say a few more words just before break about the general principles or approach at the Cooper Reese Healing Community?
Yes. When a family member have an interest or referral to us, it can come directly from a family, or it can come through from a hospital, or it can come from a treating professional, and it goes to our admissions department, who then try and help the process along to determine is the person right for us, or are we right for the individual? Because we don't help us, and we don't help the person unless we are right for each other. So it's a process that goes through, and of course there's a bunch of paperwork that's required because we are licensed by the state of North Carolina. And then when it comes down to it, the primary admissions reason is that you must be willing to be there on your own, and we have to know that we can keep the person safe. Those are some of the primary reasons that we look for admissions, because if the person doesn't want to be there, it's not helping anyone. And, you know, this is not a locked facility. We are on 94 acres in the middle of a small town called Mill Spring, North Carolina. And our other facility is in Montford, a historic section of Asheville, North Carolina. Then the individual will be coming there for a 48-hour exploratory visit. Usually they were accompanied by the family, but sometimes they're accompanied by a mental health professional and sometimes an educational consultant to come to us. And then the potential, we call them exploratory resident, will then stay for the 48 hours and participate. And we have several staff members, and that's their primary job, is to pretty much shadow that person around and make certain that they're not left alone, take them to meals, life skills, activities, whatever the day looks like. And then when the family comes back, then we have a process of the clinical team, which is the psychiatrist, the nurses, and the person that have been shadowing the individual, and some community members, and we all determine together, is this person right for us? Can we actually help him or her? Are they willing to stay? And again, those are the big criteria. The majority of people are admitted, and we go through a rather stringent process, because once someone is admitted, there's nothing worse than for a family member to be called a week later and say, come in, get you a family member because it's not working, or the person calls the family and says, I don't want to be here.
Elizabeth, we're going to go to break now. I want to emphasize that family really is the answer. I believe it very, very deeply, and I'll make a few comments about that myself when we come back after the break, and we will be continuing with Elizabeth Cooper, the chairman and founder of Mother Bear Community Action Network.
You are listening to the Dr. Peter Bragan Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay in touch, and call in with your questions at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888.
And this is Dr. Peter Bragan. And picking up on some of the themes that my guest, Elizabeth Cooper, has been talking about, Elizabeth Cooper, I think family is so key to healing. There's been a lot of discussion over the years about how much is the family the cause, how much is the family the problem. And Elizabeth talked about, you know, being told, you know, that it was all her problem. And we don't really know. We don't really know why some people become so disturbed and others do not. But one thing we do know is that the answer, the best answer, the best healing is in the family. There's just no doubt about it. When I was just beginning my psychiatric training at the State University of New York in SUNY, that's the State University of New York in Syracuse. It was back in 63. No one was doing family therapy. There was a few books about it, a few articles about it. And I began as just an intern and then a resident to do family therapy. And I found that with the cooperation of the family, when we had a cooperative family, I could help a person get out of the mental hospital in 3 days when the senior staff thought the individual should be shipped to the local state mental hospital. And so early on, it became apparent to me that the greatest healing we could do was within the family. And in my practice, I often work with couples, and if they have children and they want to involve the kids, or the kids are considered a problem, work with the whole family. And I never work with children in isolation. I won't see a 5-year-old by herself or himself. My office isn't a drop off for families who want to go shopping. I don't even work with teenagers without involvement of the family. If I have a college student who doesn't want me involved with the family, we'll talk about it, and I may not get involved if that's how the college student feels. But I always prefer to have the family involved as long as the adult, even the young adult, is dependent on them. Because the best healing is not from the therapist. The best healing is through the family, and the best work the therapist can do is helping the family with the healing process. My new book, which will be being mailed out in a couple of weeks, maybe a week, maybe two, whenever it arrives, it's due to arrive soon, and which you can get now off Amazon.com. You can get it now or off of Bragan.com. You know, the title speaks to this. The title is Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, A Guide for Prescribers, Therapists, patients, and their families. So we're very much in accord about that. Elizabeth, would you like to talk some more about the Cooper Reese Healing Community and where the family practice fits in, and how many people are there, how long do people stay? Well, you know, just a general chat about your program.
We have a capacity at the farm, as we refer to the Mill Spring campus, for 36. And in Asheville at the Montford program, we have a capacity for 24. So that's 60 at level one. And then we have about a dozen community homes with a level two or level three. So at the farm, the ratio for staff to our residents is pretty much one resident to two staff. So it's pretty intensive. So people get a lot of attention. Once you get into the community program, it's one to four. There would be three or four residents and then two to one staff. And that's the ratio for the homes also. They live in staff and three or four residents living there. And at level three, again, you have three or four people living to a home where the staff are not overnight, but it is at level two. But going back to level one, which can be either the farm or 85C, as we refer to it, we name all our houses after streets. It was 85 Zilacoa Street, and Zilacoa is kind of a little difficult name, so we just made it 85C. And people there stay on the average about 6 to 9 months, I would say, and before they would transition into the community program. And we have the day consists of first day breakfast and then the morning meeting to discuss, you know, how the night went and what's going on. And like, we're going to pick blueberries today, but it's raining. What is plan B? And so on. And then it's the residents are broken into team with light skills manager, which we have recently named to community service instead. Community service and work. And at the farm, we have animals that need to be taken care of. There's housekeeping, there's groundskeeping, we have a wood shop, we have an art barn. And in a city, it's more we go out and do community service like Habitat for Humanity. We go to a local food bank, we go to a local community garden and work there, and we do beekeeping, which is pretty exciting. And sometimes it's also going to an animal shelter and just help them out with taking care of the animals, giving the animals, take them for a walk or give them a bath. And so that's how we help out. And this is not made-up work. This is real work. This is meaningful. When you are a community and we work together as a community, everybody pitches in. And I should mention culinary skills is a huge part of it because we need to eat three meals a day plus snacks in between. So that's, and then there are evening activities with maybe music and maybe games. And we do a lot of sports. You know, play basketball, play volleyball, we go swimming, and because our philosophy is that it takes a whole body to heal. You may come because you are diagnosed with a mental health condition, but it is attached to your body. So it's very important that what you eat is a well-balanced nutritional meal, and it's also very important you get physical exercise. I just read today at lunch, I ran into a young man who has been on our program for 6 weeks, and he said, I lost 10 pounds, and he was so proud of himself, because it's all about eating right and eating healthy. Sometimes it takes a little bit of an education process to get to there, but most people, once they get signed into it, another young man just the other day, I saw an email that they asked him, because he happens to be underweight, if he would like to have a cookie. And he said, no, this is going to sound weird, but I'd rather have some broccoli or some cheese. so people can actually change.
Beth, do you use one-to-one counseling? Are there counselors? How important a part are they, the program?
Yeah, the way we set it up is that each person is assigned a therapist for, and it's usually weekly counseling. We also do a lot of groups, both DBT groups or CBT groups, and then everybody has a recovery coordinator. In a hospital setting, they're called social workers, but we call them recovery coordinators because everything we do is based on recovery. And that's a very important, the recovery coordinator have a very important job because they are the person that makes certain that the they communicate with the doctors, they communicate with the families, they communicate with the residents, with the therapists, with our nutritionists, and they kind of gather all of that information, and also sometimes it helps them with financial issues as well. So it's a very skillful and important job.
Now, people who are familiar with me and my work know that I'm very critical of psychiatric drugs. Mm-hmm. You may not know, Lizbeth, that I actually conduct a practice since 1968 without starting people on psychiatric drugs. And I know that you certainly haven't taken any position like that. But do you actually have psychiatrists on staff, or do people see psychiatrists as they wish outside the community? And is there a general attitude toward medication?
Well, we have two psychiatrists on staff, and both of them are integrative psychiatrists, and they work in unison with our holistic nutritionist, and we use a lot of supplements. Me personally, I'm not speaking on behalf of Cooperies, but me personally would love to see all our residents to be there without medication, but most of our residents, by the time they come to us, are already on a whole bunch of medications. And so our goal then is to help our residents find and optimize what is the best and what is the least medication possible for each individual. We call it medication optimization because everybody is different. And we do have a few residents that are not on medication and seem to thrive just fine. But it's a balancing act, because many times when somebody comes to us, if they came to us as a first episode, it may be different, but often they have been through quite a history by the time they find Cooperies, unfortunately. And they may come on one or two medications, they may on 8 or 10. And our goal is to try and make certain that they get what's right and as little as possible. We also are very careful about if somebody has a wish or a desire to minimize their medication, that it be done in a very gradual way and under the doctor's orders.
And you totally understand where you're coming from. And, you know, in my own practice, when people are on multiple medications, especially if they don't have a supportive family that wants them off meds, I don't have the resources to help them come off medication. Mm-hmm. It really takes a place like yours, I think, to help many of these people just reduce their meds.
Yeah.
It's really a difficult problem that I address as best I can, you know, in psychiatric drug withdrawal. But it isn't an easy matter.
No,
and I really
not.
Understand what you're facing when you have people coming to you, really probably as they sometimes come to me at the last resort, and they're on mm-hmm. multiple meds, and there's no easy solution.
No. And if you don't do it right, you know, the person can get very, very sick. I often hear, well, so-and-so went off the medication, they got sick. Well, that's not really what happened. What happened is that they detox too fast. And when you just go off to cold turkey, it may take 6 months or a year to get off your medications before you start feeling. I have seen people do it, and I have seen them also be very sick in the process.
Yeah, absolutely so. And it certainly can take a year under any circumstances to help many people come off medication, and some struggle to ever get off. It's a tough problem. One of the things that I'm repeating as often as I can now is that the greatest service, in my view, that the health community in general could provide to patients in general around the world would be to curtail medication and to develop new programs where people can withdraw from medication and have more healing, more hopeful, and more recovery-oriented programs.
Yes,
go ahead.
Being hopeful is such a powerful thing. And we is one of the things we do every day of the year, help our residents remain hopeful even when they don't feel that anything left to live for or any hope left. And the same thing for families.
One of the worst things my colleagues do is to tell people they, you know, they have a biochemical imbalance and a psychiatric diagnosis, and they have to live with it the rest of their lives and take medication the rest of their lives. It's such a dooming conclusion, and it is so much better to greet everybody with hope and encouragement and to expect recovery.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We expect that people can and will and should recover. And the majority, they do. And what does recovery look like for, well, that's a very individual thing. You chose to study medicine, I chose to study fashion. You know, so it's a very individual thing, and it's what we do, what we are best at, and where our heart is, and where our desires are.
Well, we're in very much agreement that that really the best help comes from the heart. You know, it comes from basic fundamental human principles, and I think one of the starting ones is, you know, do unto others as you'd want them to do to you. Mm-hmm. I think from the very beginning, being Jewish and not Christian, I nonetheless was operating on that principle of when I walked into state mental hospitals at the age of 18, I was operating as a volunteer on the principle of, I wouldn't want to be treated this way. How would I want to be treated? Well, mm-hmm. I'd want whoever came in here to care about me and be interested in me and not see me as fundamentally different from anyone else.
Well, seeing us being flawed.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, just because you have a mental health condition does not mean you're a flawed person, you know. And does not mean that you have a biochemical imbalance either, or you need medication for the rest of your life. There are so many other ways to recover. The first start with purpose, community, empower the person to believe in themselves.
I'm just 100% with you. Can you talk a little more about families in your program? Because obviously, you're getting people from around the country. How do you deal with the importance of family when the families are scattered?
Well, sometimes I have to remind everyone that families are the most important thing. You know, because we often think about families being the problems, but and maybe we as families can be, and we certainly can be, and we can't choose our families, but. We started, as I say, the bi-yearly family education weekends, which is a 3-day process. About 6 months ago, we started a family education program, which is, and a lot of the sessions are done over the phone. And it's the resident, it's the family member, maybe father, mother, maybe a spouse, maybe siblings, and then it's the therapist and the recovery coordinator. They will get on the phone together for an hour or two, and Dr. Xian Young, who has been with us since we started, he was our clinical director, now she heads up the, what we call the Cooper Reese Institute. She developed a curriculum with the help of some of our therapists, and it's a 10-week curriculum. It goes through various stages, and like, what is a mental health diagnosis, and what can I do to help my family member? What can I do to help myself? Because we help ourselves first, and then we can have sort of like on the airplane, you put the oxygen mask on yourself, and then you put it on others. But the more education you can give to families, the better the everything is off. I was always told that we can't speak to you because of confidentiality, and your daughter is our patient, you are not, and we can't tell you anything. But yet, when they decided to release her, it was back to me, the person that didn't know anything and wasn't supposed to know anything. And here I was again, how am I supposed to deal with it?
That is so vivid, Lizbeth. That's so vivid. That's right. They tell you you're the blame and stay out of our way, and then they send you back when they fail mm-hmm. or the insurance runs out.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Been there and done that too many times. I always said my daughter always got better the day her insurance ran out, and it was like overnight.
Yeah. You know, video technology, are you starting to use that? So you could have wonderful family
yet,
sessions.
We are going to. That will be the next thing we do, the video conferencing.
You know, my wife got me this brand new iPhone, and with a flip of a switch, I see her as bright as day while I'm talking to her, filling up the whole screen of this, and we Skype sometimes. And
you use FaceTime?
Yeah, exactly. And we don't use FaceTime,
okay.
But there's a whole variety of things that, to be used now. And I just think that technology doesn't have to actually dehumanize us. It's giving us a tremendous opportunity to be in touch across time and space. It's, I think, wonderful. And I could imagine you really becoming a leader with your family orientation and using video technology to further the family orientation.
We are going to do that. We have just been going through the last few months, just going through the pilot program and trying to work out what work, what doesn't work, and kind of get it added down to a format that we're happy with.
Good. Tell me more about what some of your plans are. I mean, I really see you as a real leader in where this field could go for the better. I don't know if you see yourself that way, but you and your husband and your organizations, your several groups, you want to talk a little bit just about your vision for the future for all the work you're doing?
Well, I need to give, before I do that, and thank you for all of the accolades, but I need to give most of the credit to our most amazing staff. We currently employ 182 people, and then I think we have another 15 or 20 full or part-time volunteers. Now, out of the 182, they're not all full-time, but it's the most amazing dedicated staff that you could possibly have, and it's under the direction of Virgil Stocker, who has been our founding executive director. And they're just absolutely amazing people. Like, I was just reading an email now about one of our residents who hit a walk in the road, kind of, and the way people are reaching out to him and helping this person and making certain that it doesn't go any further, and just totally embrace this person and call in the extra PRN staff to help him or her through this stumble. And it's absolutely amazing, instead of just saying, oh, well, so-and-so screwed up and maybe they forgot to take their medication or maybe the medication taping wasn't working or something. Everybody just gathers around this person and do whatever it takes to help him or her through this roadblock. And we all get them.
You know, and we know this works. You know, we knew this worked 200 years ago with moral therapy, which grew out of the Quaker movement, in which they talk in their old books exactly about this. The Tuke family ran one in England, and the whole idea was hope and moral encouragement and not relying on the medical approach, relying on a more spiritual approach and a moral approach and gathering around the patient. And they would describe when somebody was coming apart, you know, how they just gather around and give moral support and encourage a good meal and encourage recreation and treat people with patience and kindness and love. We've known all this a very long time.
Absolutely. And we call it Wisdom Council.
Wisdom Council.
Yeah, but it's the exact same thing.
So, Elizabeth, we have 1 minute left. Why don't you give your what you feel is the best way for people to get in touch with you? And then we'll be finishing.
The best way to get in touch with us is through our website. And for Cooperese, it's www.cooperise.org, or our 800 number is 800-957-5155, 800-957-5155. And for the Mother Bear Community Action Network, it's just www.motherbearcan.org. We don't yet have a phone number, an 800 number, because we're still just a small staff. but Mother Bear Can, or if you send an email to info@motherbearcan.com, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. And if you have an interest in getting involved, we'd love to hear from you.
Lisbeth Reese Cooper, thank you so much for being on the show. We've never met face-to-face. I look forward to our several getting-togethers in the next 12 months. You're a shining light in psychiatric reform. Thanks for being on the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour with a new live show every Monday evening at 5 p.m. East Coast time on the Progressive Radio Network, where each show is archived for your convenience. You can learn more about Dr. Bregan and his lifelong reform work on www.bregan.com. That's B-R-E-G-G-I-N.com.